You know, usually this is the time we do thanks for the memos and people's mail and so forth, but everything that's coming in is about Jim. And I thought this hour we should give Jim a little time because he certainly deserves the air time. And we can't stop thinking about him anyhow, so might as well deal with it. So all the mail, lots of things, people coming with Jim stories and Jim influences and Jim this and that. And we will open up the phones a little bit later and let people call in with anything they would have about Jim Packard or any feelings they want to share, or if Jim ever picked up a dinner for them. We'd like to hear that person in particular.
We only have an hour left.
Yeah. So here's just some of the mail. And then we're going to have a little bit here that I want to play for you from earlier, one of our earlier shows. But some of the letters. I greet warmly. My name is Piotr. I'm 18. I have 18 years old. I live in the Poland. And I learn about the world. Interest me very large cities. I ask very much to send me, if possible, a map or key leash, pen or some free trinket samples from your city and company. My address suggests Piotr in Szczecin, Poland. I thank very much. That was not about Jim. I don't know how that got in there, but we'll send him a little key leash. We'll send him a leash of some sort. Do we have leashes?
I think we do.
Okay, send him a leash. Dick Alpert writes, Jim Packard was the man who gave me my first real break of note at the old WMAD in Madison in the mid to late 70s. He was a nurturing man and mentor for me, and I always remembered his gentle style with me. It was so important to have had that at that point in my career, which now has me doing traffic for Clear Channel stations in Milwaukee and Madison. I came to broadcast to a broadcast some years ago at Vilas Hall, and he remembered me, which made my year. I've always tried to base my on-air presence on his. What a loss, Dick Alpert. Thank you very much, Dick, for that. And, actually, when I came up to school here in Madison, Jim was on Radio Free Madison. Any remember that? Remember when FM was such a big deal, when they would play like entire album cuts, sides of albums, and it was like a revolution. Revolution was in the air in the 70s, and Jim was Jim St. John. And I asked him if he still owned the name or something. It's a pretty cool name, Jim St. John. You know. John St. John would have been better, I thought. You know. Or Jim St. Jim. But he was on there. He was in Radio Free Madison stuff. So he's been on at a lot of stations around Wisconsin, particularly southern Wisconsin. So he was fired from every major station in the state before sticking at public radio. No, not fired. That's the way commercial radio is. You know, you're on and they change your format and you go somewhere else. But he did all that. So he was a commercial guy as well as public radio guy. Shane says, we hardly knew you, Jim, but your voice will long be known with us. I recall first impressions were of a rock solid Madison guy fittingly introduced years ago by some State Street guy named Carl. This trip is starting to seem a lot shorter every year. That's from Shane. Kathleen Markward, I'm so sad by Jim's death. What do you know, won't be the same without him. Michael, it's so hard to lose such a long friendship and partnership. Take good care of yourself. Thank you. We were so sad to hear the passing of Jim Packard. He was truly a friend of the, this is from the folks at the Wollersheim Winery. And they owe him because Jim gave away a lot of their wine. I think he gave away one and kept one, personally. But we moved a lot of Wollersheim wine thanks to Jim Packard. We are so sad to hear the passing of Jim. He was truly a friend, and we are thinking of the family and friends he has left behind. Please know we are thinking of you all this time. Thank you again for your time, and take care. There's more. What I want to do is play a little thing. All right, how did Jim and I first... I was assigned, when I came back to do this show after a major setback in Chicago, speaking of being fired, my only commercial gig, really, except for a weekend in the cornfield in Sun Prairie at WMAD, two weekend nights, right, was freaked out because it was overnight in the cornfield. Have you ever been overnight in a cornfield? They had the big window there, you could look out, and it was corn at night. Nothing more terrifying than a cornfield at have you ever been in a cornfield at night? You're looking perplexed. Go to Sun Prairie and wait till the sun sets. Walk around. Terrifying. Children of the Corn is scary for a reason. So I was there. That was my only thing. I quit at work or something, and I was trying to work again, and I did it, but it terrified me. And a woman called in and said, I just had a niece that was just born. Would you play Hell's Bells by AC/DC for her? So, and I did in the cornfield there, and I didn't work there again. So, but Jim, as I say, worked all over, and he So he was like the consummate radio professional. And he also was of the old school of announcing, which means he actually could announce, you know, without sounding like he was announcing. Because he had a great speaking voice, great pipes, and he had this little Norwegian twang, which I always found good. I think it's a good thing. There's some intonation that is Norwegian. I don't know what it is. It comes from some other place that you don't have to pay for. And there's some to it. And all right, so when I came back here and I got a chance to do this, what do you know, actually? And they said, well, you're going to need an announcer. And I said, why do I need an announcer? I just had the worst experience in my life. They teamed me with this woman in Chicago, and we used to fight over the, you know, how loud each other was on the. We had to take turns, you know, doing the board, and there are these little levers and stuff. And they super glued them so we could not pot each other down. But she was loud. She was a traffic copter reporter, you know, and I pounded on it until I bled one time just to get her down because I couldn't say. I said, I don't really need an announcer. I've had bad experience with working with anyone on any level, you know, let alone. They said, no, Jim would be really good for the show. And so Jim was more or less put on the show. Well, that's okay. I mean, I knew Jim and everything, and it was cool. We used to walk our dogs occasionally in the same places, and he was cool. I liked him and everything, and I knew he was actually a radio guy. But I was a little intimidated by him, to tell you the truth, because he was a pro, and I was not even a talented amateur. I still, I've never actually made pro. I don't, you know, flying. I mean, there's someone who's a professional radio guy, and then there's me, you know, long-term amateur, whatever. So one of the thing that got set up in the relationship is what I'm saying is that Jim would try to do his announcing, and I would try to wreck it.
Yeah, you did a very good job of it too.
Yeah, no, because that's the only approach I could take to it. I would try to, because he would go into a thing and he hated to stop reading his copy. You know, because announcers don't do that. You know, so he'd be doing his copy, and I would try to disrupt him and, you know, change the subject or something. Or I did try burning his copy a couple times, but he's too quick. You know, he got it away. I occasionally would move his microphone out while he was broadcasting, and he would have to try to follow it. But that was cruel.
You were a little more manic in those days, too.
I was. This we have a little clip here. This is from one of the first towns of the week. So Jim had this thing where we did this thing, Town of the Week. We did Town of the Week originally because we were only on in Wisconsin. And, you know, we wanted to sound like we were in all kinds of places. So we took a map of the U.S. and threw a dart at it and said, you know, so let's talk about, you know, the place where we weren't on, and, you know, period. And Town of the Week was Jim's thing. He would go in and did a really good job on it, investigating it and all this stuff. And then he could do, he's a good writer, actually, so he could use his writing talents. And I would try to screw it all up. And it's sort of this is one of the early ones from 1986. Let's go right to that right now. This time, of course, each week, we honor a town of the week. How do we do it? Well, we throw a dart here at the Rand McNally map. Last week, we forgot to do it. So after the show, we threw it until we found a town we liked. And we came up with one in Nevada. Here with town of the week is Jim Packard.
Nestled in a meadow valley bounded by the Trinity and Seven Troughs Mountains to the north and west and by the Humboldt Range to the east lies the Pershing County seat of Lovelock, Nevada, population 1,680. This valley was on the old Truckee route of the California Trail, and the last grass and water for the wagon train stock was found here before crossing the desert.
The Truckee?
Truckee, by the way, was a famed Paiute Indian chief who guided the wagons.
Chief Truckee?
Chief Truckee. And his descendants still live in Lovelock.
Uh-huh.
In 1862, an Englishman, George Lovelock, arrived to build a small stagecoach station. Later, when the railroad came through, the depot was named for him.
Did it come right through the station?
When Pershing County was named for
him. How did he get the name of the town? See, what I don't understand is when a guy moves into town and they name the town after him. I mean, that's never happened to you, has it? I mean, you've moved to a town and they named the town after you? Like Packardville?
Packardville, right up near Portage.
Yeah, but
yes.
Not after you, right? Let's face it.
No, they haven't named
Feldmanburg.
Anything.
Feldmanburg?
Not yet.
My name doesn't lend itself to a town, obviously.
Well, Feldman.
Yeah, the
I
town
can
of
see
Feldman. So the trick is to be somewhere where a town is starting and to be obvious and
that's
to have
right.
Your name out.
And Lovelock, interestingly enough, had survived a shipwreck thousands of miles away. And
a shipwreck in Nevada would be rough, wouldn't it? If he hadn't, they'd probably never find it.
If he hadn't suffered the shipwreck, he never would have ended up in Nevada.
In Nevada. That's right.
Some mining goes on nearby, and a new mine is scheduled to open soon. Other employment is found in agriculture.
What do they dig there?
Dig?
Yeah. It's a mining term.
They have the The most extensive variety of minerals found
anywhere.
I heard
that part, Jim, but
and
what
so
does that
they
mean?
Dig it all. They dig it all.
They dig it all.
Perlite.
If you don't know, that's all right to say you don't
ore,
know. You know,
gold,
it's fine.
All those things.
Quartz, quartz, tin, and lead as well?
I'm sure. That entire variety of species.
All right.
Agriculture, retail, trade, tourism, very important, and a new minimum security prison is to open in the near future, which will offer employment opportunities. There are many nearby mining ghost towns to visit, and Lovelock Cave is just south of town, well known as the home of Indian cave dwellers thousands of years ago.
When the guy was getting shipwrecked.
At the ancient lake. Many of the caves have now been desecrated. People have gone in, destroyed them, defaced them, mm-hmm. torn out all of the old Indian relics.
Well, that's tourism, though.
The reservoir for the valley
with
is located at the Rye Patch State Park, and this weekend the Rye Patch Fishing Derby is being held. The other major reason that Lovelock is noted in history is that motorists hit the last stoplight on I-80 before reaching the West Coast here.
That's the last stoplight at Lovelock?
Yes.
Really? That's great.
It's one of two round courthouses in the country, located in the Nile Valley of the West. It's our town of the week, Lovelock, Nevada.
This part is just my part. It wasn't as good as Jim's part. You know, we call, and you know, in those days we used to call truly randomly, because I had the phone right there. And I would call people and get them in the middle of it, and it would all be on the air. You know, we didn't screen or anything. And then we were on NPR at that time, and a lawyer from NPR said, you can't do that. You cannot put people on the air. You know, I don't know if it's a misdemeanor or a felony to do that. Put someone on the air without their saying okay. So we stopped doing that, and then Lyle started doing it. It was about that time, wasn't it, you started doing it? Yeah, and Lyle's still here, too. So, but it's not much fun, it's actually, because they used to hang up on me all the time. Because, you know, you're in Wyoming or someplace, and some guy...
I think it was Kansas that hung up on you like five times in a row.
Yeah, Kansas, I was not big in Kansas. It gave a certain idea of what we were up against, you know, because you're actually meeting the actual, you know, potential listeners, and not everyone wants to talk on the air, you know. So we stopped doing that. All right, I'm going to give people a chance to call in. Let's give that number once again. I don't know if people know how to get through to us.
1-800-942-5669.
That's the number. That's number to call. Easy way to remember that?
800-WHA-KNOW. Wah, no, or whack, now.
Okay. That's the one. Jim invented that, by the way. And I'm not saying his job was easy, but on the road, the only thing he had to do, really, was to find, when we had a new phone number, was to find out some words that it spelled. And I don't think once there was one that actually was useful. There were all these very strange amalgams of words and stuff. We got lots of people on the phones here talking about Jim Packard, and a lot of people have some things to say, some memories to share, and Mary Lee's in Grundy Center, Iowa. Hi, Mary Lee.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing really well today.
Hi, good. Well, and go ahead, what do you have to say about Jim, or what feelings do you have? Are you there? Mary Lee? Mary Lee! Overcome with emotion. Mary Lee in Grundy Center, Iowa. I guess we lost her. Okay. How about Sally, then, in Green Bay?
Hi.
How are you?
I regret that I never got to your show to see Jim, because he really was a big asset to your show.
Thank you very much on behalf of Jim.
And not that we wouldn't like to see you. I just haven't been able to snag a ride with anybody that way.
Yeah, it's not me. It's not. If Jim would have drawn you probably pretty quickly if you had gotten a ride.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Thanks, right. Sally. Thanks very much for calling. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Witt's on the line from Mount Nebo, West Virginia.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Witt.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. I just really wanted to call to express my sorrow at the loss of Jim. I think that he and I actually had shared very similar feelings about Sarah Palin in the past.
Did you share those with him?
Yeah, on your show, actually. Yeah. Probably a year ago or so.
Oh, yeah.
You know, That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. What was Jim's take on Sarah Palin?
I answered the answer incorrectly, and he gave it to me.
Oh, so, that's rare.
Yeah, it's when I got my first flying screaming monkey.
Really?
Remember those?
Are those still occurring to you, or have you taken something for
it? Actually, I took it over to the bar and almost got thrown out.
Well, you can thank Jim for that, too.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I've been wanting to ask you this for a long time.
Yeah.
Are you really sure that you're Michael Feldman?
As opposed to what?
Bob Newhart.
Oh, okay. No.
You're sure you never owned a bed and breakfast in New Hampshire?
No, no, no. But you know what? I have the same shoe size as Hedy Lamarr, and no one makes that mistake. Thanks, Whit.
You have a good day.
Okay, nice talking with you.
Thank you.
John's in Sun City, Arizona. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Not too bad.
Anything you want to say about Jim or what we're talking about? Or?
Well, I always remember that before I left Wisconsin, I did go to the shop that he used to work at, and I think he fitted for our soup from him, so I had that connection with him.
Yeah. At the Burlington Coat Factory?
Yes.
Yes. And did he fix you up good?
He tried to.
Well, what are the, did it work out pretty good for you? Or?
For me, yeah.
Yeah. Jim was my costume advisor as well here, because he actually was a dresser and quite a natty individual, and I'm sort of like whatever is clean, you know, and reach in. And even if it isn't, you know, if you like that one, it's in the hamper. Who's going to know it's radio? But Jim was very careful about how he dressed, and he was always aghast at my dress. But he actually helped me. I dressed a little better. I wore this shirt just for Jim, didn't I?
It's my, that's good. Well, I'm seeing it online, but you can't see it on the radio.
Yeah, I know, but it's a personal thing. But thanks for calling, John.
Bye.
Take care. Ed's on the line from West Allis. Hey, Ed.
Yeah, Rick Riamaterinum for Jim. But I have a story. We have a freeway flyer that takes people down to Summerfest.
Mm-hmm.
And this is many years ago, and he was one of the last people on the bus, but he was with a different group. So he got separated. He got on the bus, and he was patting himself down, and you could tell by his voice who he was. And he was saying to me, my friends have my money. My friends have my money. And I said, you don't have any money, sir, to pay the fare? And he said, that's right. And I said, I think I know your voice. I said, this English professor told me that the best phrase in the English language is cellar door, the most poetic. So from the freeway flyer lot all the way down to Summerfest, I made him repeat the word cellar door for his fare.
You made him do that?
I sure did.
And did he do it?
He sure did. And that's my Jim Packard.
Well, that's one I haven't heard before. I got to give you credit on that one.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks, Ed. Ed from Weston. See, he's touched a lot of lives and a lot of cellar doors, apparently. Ann's in San Francisco. Hey, Ann.
Hi, Michael. I just wanted to pay tribute to Jim and send my condolences to everybody. I met all you guys in Berkeley when you guys were out here. This was back in 2006.
Right.
And Jim and his wife Deb came out afterwards to my husband's restaurant. And after that, he just started emailing me all the time.
So he did?
Yeah, we were email pen pals for this whole time. And the last time...
Nothing unwarranted, I hope.
Well, it got kind of personal sometimes. I mean, we were just totally friends, but he used to send pictures of the dogs and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah, and I was sending him a lot of get well cards recently because, you know, he'd been in the hospital. And
right.
He always liked them. And he was just so excited to go to New York. And
right.
He told me in the last email that he was really excited and, you know, they missed a flight, and so they had to change it and all that. But his last words were, let the journey begin.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
So he was something, and I'm going to really, really miss him.
Yeah, and you know, he was feeling pretty bad by New York. I mean, it's been a pretty progressive, this thing, this past year. It went pretty quick. It was really unbelievable. But Jim would not miss a show. I mean, he would come in out of the hospital. He'd be 2 days out of the hospital and in here doing his show. You know?
I couldn't believe it. I turned the radio on. It's like, he's on. I knew he was just in the hospital.
You couldn't keep him away.
I know.
You know, that's why I believe he's here now. I have every confidence that he's here and probably aghast at some of the things that I'm saying wrong about his past.
No.
But yeah, and he, you know what? He nailed that New York show. It was perfect.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
It was a great show, and Jim was on, and he gave it all he got, and it was a great show. So.
Did he fawn over Sarah Jessica?
Well, I was sort of in the way of that.
I know you said that. You told me.
Now she's getting emails from me every day.
Oh, I'm
sending her pictures of my dog. And
picking
stuff.
It up, okay.
Thanks, Ann.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you for calling. Camille's on the line from Tallahassee. Hey, Camille.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Not too good.
No.
Still crying about Jim.
Are you? Yeah. Well, it comes and goes with me, too. See, I'm a crier. People wouldn't expect it of me, but if I can't make a joke in a situation, I have no recourse but to cry. So I try not to do that, because I was a crier as a kid and learned how to tell jokes and make light of things. But some things, you know, are impossible to make light of, and you cry. So.
Well, we on the chat group will miss him very much.
Yeah. You're in the chat group.
Yes,
yeah,
I'm. I'm Packard Girl.
Packard Girl, yes. Yeah. How are you?
Yes.
I didn't recognize.
Oh, Packard Girl, fine.
Good, good.
Camille's not so well, but yeah. Packard Girl is just great.
Yeah, yeah.
And we love you guys, and we will miss him, but we know that we will welcome his replacement.
Mm-hmm. How did you? Are you gone?
No.
I thought I heard. Hang on. And how did you choose the name, the nom de plume? Packard Girl.
Because usually most people go after the host of the show when they want to, you know, when they want to go after somebody, and I wanted to go for the other person.
Yeah, there is no Feldman Girl. I have noticed that in the chat group.
Well, I had to be different.
Yeah, no, well, good.
You have all the women at your feet, but Jim didn't. So.
No, he had a lot of women at his feet too.
Besides his wife, I mean.
No, yeah, right. I didn't mean that then.
Oh,
I take that back. You're right. You didn't have any women at his feet.
Oh, okay. Oh,
that's what I meant to say.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Thanks, Camille.
All righty.
Packard
bye,
Girl.
Michael.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
John's on the line from Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah. Hi. Hi. Jim always came up with those great little nuggets of wit about the final round of the quiz.
And yeah.
I always kind of wanted to ask him how he felt about the ones that he didn't get to use because... They didn't move on to the last round. Do you ever say anything about that?
No, I never questioned his, you know, whatever he had. You know what? Jim had this little folder thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there were all these things in there that no one was allowed to see. Some of them might have been these little things they'd worked out in advance, but little, you know, if you don't win, if you get the question wrong, then you only win, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's usually based on something that happened on the show, and they're always pretty good. But he also had these other things that he had in there. And no one was allowed to see it.
Huh.
So I don't know. There could have been a lot of nuggets in there.
Yeah. Well, I just want to remember the all the warmth and wit and wisdom, yeah. Spoken and unspoken, that we had every week with Jim.
Thank you, John.
Thanks.
It's very, very nice of you.
Bye.
Bye. Amy's online from Milwaukee. Hey, Amy.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I'm sorry?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Because some people can't on this phone, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I called he's now my ex-husband in North Carolina, to tell him about Jim, because he doesn't get, they don't get what he know, what do you know down mm-hmm. there.
Right.
And he looked up on his computer his obituary, and it said he's been doing... what he knows since 1985,
mm-hmm.
but he and I both swear that we had been to Madison two or three times to see your show before we were married and right after we were married, and it was before 85.
Yeah.
Is that really? It's just 85.
Isn't that long enough? I mean, it seems like a long... That's a long haul to me. That's like... This is our 27th year, actually, being
a
partner.
Well, I don't know. I just couldn't believe it when you said that this morning.
Yeah.
And because I remember seeing him, and we didn't get to talk to him. But then when we moved to North Carolina, and we did the call-in thing... my husband really wanted to call in to What Do You Know and play the quiz, and he won, and we won a bunch of crazy stuff. But we still have a lot of this stuff, or I still have a lot of this stuff that we got.
Everything but the husband, right?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, that was low. Well, we're still good.
All right.
We're still good friends. But, all right.
Amy, thank you so much. There's other people waiting, too, to get in, but thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, well, good luck to you. And I want to tell you that what you know is the best thing about moving back to Wisconsin for me.
All right, thank you, Amy. And come and see us sometime.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Bye. Charlie is in Little Rock, Arkansas. Hi, Charlie.
Hello, Michael. I'm very sorry for your loss, very sorry for everyone's loss. I didn't know that he passed until I turned on the show today, mm-hmm. and I got on my email and took a look at a story about him, and it was great because it was a comparison of that he was like the announcer to Groucho Marx.
George Fenneman, yeah.
Right, yeah. And you all are just, it was such a unique relationship, and I won't take up much more time except to say that's two right and one wrong.
Thanks, Charlie. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Clarence is in Ashland, Wisconsin. Hey, Clarence.
Morning, Michael.
How are you?
Wanted to reminisce about Jim Packer because
yes.
I first met Jim in 1969. Uh-huh. He hired me as an FM board operator at WISM in Madison.
At WISM.
Mm-hmm. And hadn't seen him for a long time. A few years ago, I went up to Bayfield when he was with the Larry Mueller Show mm-hmm. doing their spring garden show, and I thought, I wonder if Jim will remember me. So during a break, I walked up to Jim, and as I'm walking up, he held out his hand, and he said, I know you. I just can't remember your name. And that was about 35 years mm-hmm. in between the times that we had met each other.
Yeah.
So he remembered everybody, I think.
Yeah. Did you tell him your name, or did you just make him suffer? Because that would drive him crazy.
Name. Yeah, I told him my name, and I was also once known as Paul Lewis on WISM News. And mm-hmm. But he remembered. You know, he just couldn't come up with my name. But
yeah.
Knew me from 35 years ago.
Did he give you your first big break? Is that what that was?
Well, yeah, sort of, I guess. I ended up working at WISM for about 4 years, and I'm still doing sports play-by-play in northern Wisconsin.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Who do you do that for? Who do you cover?
For Heartland Communications in Ashland.
Yeah. So what teams are we talking about?
Ashland High School and some of the smaller communities around the area.
Okay. And the Ashland, the Fighting?
The Ore Dockers.
The Ore Dockers, of course. That's right. The Ore Dockers of Ashland. And by the way, is the Ore Dock still there?
It's on the way down.
Yeah, because they're going to tear that down.
They've started to tear it down now.
Because we were up there not that long ago, and I thought, that's a great motif. They should fix it. I don't know what you do with an Ore Dock to fix it up, but don't you think?
There were a lot of things over the years that they were trying to figure out what to do with it, and it ended up that they had to tear it down.
Yeah. I was out there drinking on a terrace with Jim, looking at the Ore Dock. I said, Jim, they ought to do something with that Ore Dock. Why tear it down? That's very distinctive. It's a feature, you know.
There were a lot of proposals going around. There were at one time they wanted to put some kind of a maritime museum out there.
Yeah, or a casino. They should have put a casino.
That would be good. Yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay. Thanks, Clarence, very much.
Thanks,
appreciate
Michael.
It.
Bye.
Bye. Andy's not there. Luke's in Madison. We'll go to him. Hey, Luke.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
Good. It's worth noting that I can see Monona Terrace from my house.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes.
From the other side?
The off of John Nolan, south side of the bay here.
Cool.
So anyway, no huge story with Jim, but about a year and a half ago, after he retired, I was sitting in the Fordham Avenue Einstein Bagels here, and looked over and I thought, that's Jim Packard. And sure enough, he was sitting there just having some breakfast or whatever, and didn't want to go bother him, but he got up to leave, and I just said, you know, happy retirement. And he looked over and said thank you and smiled. So I thought that was a nice little gesture. And
that's the whole story?
Yeah, pretty much.
You could have made something up. I would have never known. You could have said, told his life story, going back to the Army days and all that stuff.
Well, there's still time.
Yeah. Thanks, Luke. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right. And thank you all for calling in. Thank you all for everybody writing in and all the communications about Jim. And we're much appreciated. And, of course, our hearts are all going out to Deb Packard, his wife, these many years. And I won't be able to say any more. You know, I always explain that Jim was controlling the applause sign, you know. And I would say, you know, don't try to outguess him. He's a seasoned radio professional, you know, so. Which, of course, he was. And I said the applause sign could go on for any reason. For example, if I mentioned his beautiful wife, Deb Packard. And so that was. So, Deb, you're still getting applause. That's the good news.